Grace be unto you and peace from him who is, was, and shall be, and from Jesus Christ, who loves us and has released us from our sins with his blood. May glory and power be upon him, always and forever. Let us quieten for prayer and thanksgiving. Holy and righteous Father, God, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast allowed us to come together to the summer services of Pyhäjoki. Thank you for everything that you have created, for the beauty of summer and the miracles of nature, for our homeland and its independence. Thank you for the goodness by which you have led our nation through many trials heretofore. Thank you for our homes. Bless and protect them so that they would become refuges of respect, love, and security. Bless our journey escorts and every one of our escorts or close ones here at the service area and everywhere where these services are being heard. We remember those who have asked for our prayers of intercession, as well as those whom we have promised to remember in our prayers. Teach us to trust in you, our Heavenly Father, and to turn to you in all times and conditions of our lives. God, our Father, glorify thy Son, Jesus Christ, and the treasures of thy kingdom for the strengthening and revival of our faith. Enlighten your word through thy Spirit for the edification and blessing of thy congregation. Show the lost friends into your kingdom, into the fellowship of your grace. Seek the lost, revive and strengthen the weary. Encourage every listener with your holy gospel to believe here at the service site, listening to the radio and the internet, to live as thy child in your grace care. We pray. Bless you, these summer services, and we pray with the words your Son has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. To introduce my greeting, I shall read verses 14 through 16 of chapter 24 of the Acts of the Apostles. Paul answered, "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Honorable Bishop, distinguished guests, dear service guests, near and far, dear brothers and sisters, it is my fine duty to welcome you all warmly on behalf of the SRK board to Pyhäjoki to hear the glad tidings of the gospel. I declare a great joy unto you is the theme of these services. These services which we have now gathered to have required a lot of preparation. The Association of Peace that is bearing the main responsibility for these services is the Oulaisten Rauhanyhdistys with 13 other local RYs. I wish to warmly thank these associations and their folks for the substantial amount of work that you have done over the years in the preparation of these services. At the same time, I wish to thank all of the various partners and government agencies, as well as the people from this village of Yppäri, as well as everyone else who, over the years, have worked and contributed so that we can now pause before the Word of God on these fields of Yppäri. These summer services are anniversary services three times over. Yesterday was the 100th anniversary of the founding of the Central Association of the Finnish Associations of Peace. At the annual meeting of the predecessor of the SRK called Lähetystoimi, the unanimous decision was made on June 26, 1914, to establish a General Association of Peace. 2 years later, the association was renamed the Central Association of the Finnish Associations of Peace. The local associations of peace which were operating in Finland at that time received a link. The need for this kind of central association had been obvious for a long time. In its work and support, the SRK has been primarily a service body or agency ever since it was founded, with the aim of carrying out the work of the gospel. The anniversary theme will be highlighted at the annual meeting of the SRK when Publications Director Ari-Pekka Palola delivers a presentation on the 100th anniversary of the founding of the SRK. Another reason that this is an anniversary for the SRK is that it is the 60th anniversary of Päivämies. The newspaper was established at an annual meeting in connection with the summer services of Tampere on June 30th, 1954. And it is still eagerly awaited by its readers in the midst of everyday life, like a fresh leaf off an olive tree, to use an old image. In connection with the anniversary, there will be a 60th anniversary event and an anniversary seminar to be held at the Oloroy next autumn. Our third reason for an anniversary is that it is the 30th anniversary of the publication of the first yearbook or annual report of our central association. The name of that yearbook in 1984 was In the World, but Not of the World. The name of the book indicates that Christians live in a changing world where we continuously encounter things which touch our lives of faith and the work of the gospel. In Lestadian, conservative Lestadian proclamations and publications, there is a custom of reviewing questions and topics of the day in the light of God's Word. In connection with my greeting, I was given the job of publishing or announcing this year's yearbook. It is called The Freedom of a Christian. Topics of the Day 2014 Yearbook. The book has been edited by Jouni Hintikka and Ari-Pekka Palola. This book has 41 authors. I wish to thank all of them on behalf of the SRK administration for their valuable work of writing. I hereby announce the publication of this work. The articles of this book aim to give a rich and multifaceted picture of what the freedom of a Christian is and what it is not. The book is divided into four parts. The first part is called Freedom in Christ. It addresses how the freedom of a Christian is based on Christ's redemption work. By his suffering and death, he has purchased us free from the power of death and God's opponent, and from the yoke of the law and people's bondage. The purpose is that I would live as his own and live in his kingdom, as Martin Luther expressed the purpose of the redemption. The second part reveals contents and limits of the freedom of a Christian. The freedom of a Christian does not entitle one to live in sin. He should not live for himself, but for Christ and for his loved ones. For Christ in faith and for his neighbors in love, as Luther expressed. The articles in section 3 address the topic freedom and responsibility in different areas of life. Before God, we are responsible for what we do and what we don't do. In In the last section, section 4, social responsibility addresses the intersecting points of the freedom of a Christian and Christian work with surrounding society. With thanks, we say that every believer can believe freely and live according to his faith under the protection of the law. According to our Constitution, everyone has the right to believe and the right to a conscience. Dear friends, freedom of belief is nothing to be taken granted for. Indeed, in our country, there seems to be a growing idea that faith is a private matter. It can be confessed and practiced alone in solitude or together with others who confess the same faith within the walls of a church or other equivalent buildings. It's clear that this way of thinking reduces the freedom to confess and proclaim Christian faith. Apostle Paul's freedom to proclaim and at the same time the right to proclaim the gospel of Christ was on trial in Jerusalem. The apostle had been arrested and answered for his faith and activity in front of the great council or Sanhedrin. Now he had been brought before Felix the governor, the apostle's prosecutor. Was the Jewish council or Sanhedrin and its assistant in the trial was the lawyer Tertullus. This man presented three charges against Paul. First, he had incited all kinds of unrest among the Jews. The man was as destructive as the plague, as our original Bible said. Secondly, he was the leader of the dangerous sect of the Nazarene. Third, he had tried to disgrace a sanctuary, the Temple of Jerusalem. In his plea or defense speech, Paul refuted these charges. He had come to Jerusalem as a pilgrim to pray, not as any political agitator. In the 12 days that he had spent in the city, he could not have had time to start a rebellion. In fact, the movement of life which Paul called the way is not political, and therefore it is not dangerous to social harmony. On the contrary, at these times, Apostle Paul writes a letter to the Christians of Rome, where he acknowledges the authorities as servants of God, as working for your good. Glory to him to whom it belongs, teaches Paul. Ultimately, he does not defend himself. He's defending the gospel. He says what he has found in his life. the gospel of Christ, and the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. To those people at the trial, he explains what is important to him in faith and in his life as he serves the God of his Father. Paul's plea or apology is actually the confession of faith of an accused man, a humble confession of faith where he does not brag, but at the same time he does not bow down. In his humility, Paul confesses that he belongs to that group which the Jews call a sect or heresy. He is traveling on that way. He confesses to being a follower of Jesus of Nazareth. It's important for him. Later, he may say, "Doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord." According to him, the throne of his followers is not a heretical direction, but the way of life which God's entire revelation history in the Holy Testament has been aiming toward. The apostles also showed that the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus were the fulfillment of the Holy Scriptures. Indeed, the Old Testament was the Bible for Jesus, Paul, other apostles, and the early congregation. On the days that they lived in the light of the Old Testament. The writings revealed a safe road for them, which God guides and guides. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. From time to time, position statements by the annual meetings of the Central Association of Our Christianity have expressed a deep concern about trends in our society and in our national church in which the authority of the Bible is belittled. Emphasis has been placed on this. According to Jesus, the content of the Word of God and the message do not change while the world changes. The Word of God remains the same. It is worth remembering that in our national church, according to its confession, all doctrine in the church shall be examined and assessed according to God's holy word. Dear brothers and sisters, at times in our Christianity, we have had to bear or carry the stigma of a sect or cult in our Christianity. People have demanded that we give up or abandon our doctrine and encouraged us to leave the National Church if we want to stick to our teachings. These demands and bans on preachers were experienced painfully in Pyhäjoki and elsewhere in the Pyhäjoki Valley in the late 1800s. And these attempts to silence have not died, even though it is now the 2000s. This may sometimes confuse or perplex young people. At those times, there is a danger of being misdirected from or distracted from the way of life. I would like to tell you young people in particular, there's no reason to be ashamed about faith. It's good and safe to build our faith on the ABCs of faith, to build on the ABCs of our faith in this broken and shattered world, and to say, this is how I believe. It's important that personal faith is a common faith among the children of God. It's important to confess, this is how we believe. Thus, it is important to pause before the Word of God and be rooted in the doctrine of Christ. In these fragile days, we live on the Word of God, by God's Word, and we can receive strength for our lives of faith from the Gospel, which forgives us, lifts us, and carries us. According to the confession of faith by the Apostle, the God of his fathers is his God. He, along with his forefathers, had a common hope, a resurrection that was general to everybody. One day God shall awaken the dead, the just and the unjust, the righteous as well as the unrighteous. According to the doctrine or teaching of the New Testament, everyone must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's why the apostle endeavored so that he would have an unreproachable conscience before God and before man. The life of faith means life as a child of God, keeping a clean conscience and taking care of a conscience before God and before people and even behind people. Everywhere. The old Christian doctrine summarized the caretaking of one's own life of faith using the following words: to be preserved and to be strengthened in faith, a Christian shall diligently use God's Word and the Lord's Holy Supper, prayer, and the mutual contact of Christians. Dear journey escorts, we need all of these things to take care of our life of faith. But let us not forget confession. The gift of confession in taking care of your conscience. Even though the Christian doctor addresses this in a later stage. As we know, and as we have experienced, in confession, we first confess our sins, and then we accept the forgiveness of sins from our confessor father or mother. The forgiveness that was just proclaimed to me, as if it had been proclaimed by God. The Catechism says, the words of absolution are certain, for they are, according to God's promise, His own words. At that moment, we experience a miracle, the forgiveness of sins on earth forgiven in heaven. Forgiveness proclaimed on the basis of the reconciling work of Christ truly frees you from sin and gives you strength to struggle against it. The gospel of forgiveness is not a mask or cover of sin, but it is also the power to deal with the temporal consequences that affect others. Even reconciling or atoning your actions before and with secular authorities, if and when it is necessary. Today, someone might ask, before the radio or the internet, is it possible that I can receive my sin, all of the violations that are hurting my conscience, can I believe them forgiven? My friend, there is no greater joy for a preacher than to assure a seeker that his sins are forgiven. The gospel of the kingdom of God assures you here and now to believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and atoning blood. The forgiveness of sin transfers the miracle of faith. A person who has experienced it from darkness to light, from the power of death into the kingdom of God's dear Son, into the throne of His followers, to experiencing the internal essence of the kingdom, peace, freedom, and joy in the Holy Spirit. From the forgiveness of sins, a new power of a new way of life flows, which generates love, thankfulness, and obedience of faith in our hearts. Faith is apparent in the life as obedience to God and to His Word, and it shows our way of life, and it always brings us to that source of the blessing from which flows the powerful song, powerful power of forgiveness. Therefore, you young, older, and even senior citizens, you can, with comforted mind, believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and atoning blood. We have redemption in Him through His blood. Forgiveness according to the wealth and richness of His grace. This grace carries us today and in the future. I thus wish to welcome all of you, friends, to these summer services of Pyhäjoki.